Bonded for life.
Sheridan County School District 2 is looking for a friendly, skilled, and safety-conscious bus mechanic to help maintain the district's transportation fleet. Applicants must have mechanical and electrical skills to help with repairs and have a valid driver's license with acceptable driving record. This position offers excellent benefits, paid leave, and a starting wage of $19.08 to $29.58, depending on experience. For more information or to apply for this exciting opportunity, visit scsd2.com.
Step into a world of wintry wonder as Shimmer brings a breathtaking Cirque performance to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy awe-inspiring aerialists, acrobats, and dreamlike choreography, celebrating the enchantment of the season through movement, light, and imagination. Tickets for this spellbinding experience are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A winter Cirque reverie, Thursday, January 22nd.
You're invited to the 9th annual Little Goose Ranch Production Sale, January 24th at Buffalo Livestock Marketing. Selling is an outstanding set of registered yearling Black Angus bulls and replacement heifers, featuring progeny influenced by top-name sires such as Coleman Charlotte, Ellingson Statement, SAV Certified, and other outstanding herd sires. Free wintering and delivery within 500 miles. Visit littlegooseranch.com for further information and to see the catalog. Make plans for Buffalo, Wyoming, January 24th at 1 p.m. for the Little Goose Ranch Production Sale.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, January 19th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital primary care family medicine doctor, Lisa Mullen. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, how long have you been with Sheridan Memorial Hospital?
Yeah, I just started, Floyd, in September of this year. So we're going on about 4 months now or so.
How do you like it so far?
It's going well. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the reason you gravitated towards this career, this is something that I ask every doctor, nurse who comes in here, because for me to make the decision to go into such a profession, what a commitment. There's really got to be something behind that, right? What was yours?
Yeah, I would say there is a few things that influenced that. One would be is that I always really enjoyed science. I always really enjoyed putting puzzles together, just different pieces of that. And I think that's a lot of medicine. But I would say one of the major influences I had is a family doctor of my own and our families of growing up. And that was in Newcastle, Wyoming. In high school, my dad got fairly sick and ill, and that family medicine physician really helped our family navigate the medical system, get him the care he needed, and was just a vital part of that. And I just thought, oh, this is something I think that maybe I would want to do. And then going through more schooling and things too, just having those aspects of different areas that I really liked and enjoyed, like anatomy and biology and those things, and then just finding a career that, yes, I want to be a physician.
Mm-hmm. And about how old were you when that really, really took?
I mean, my mom has the picture of me carrying the doctor's case around when I'm 3 years old, and she has that framed for me. That's still.
Nice.
But I would say really probably in high school, middle school, high school, that more solidified for me that, again, that's, I guess, because that's when we were experiencing that with my own family doctor. But I mean, my family doctor in Newcastle both delivered my sister and I, and he was our doctor through, you know, our entire life there, and was our parents' doctors and helped my dad, like I said, navigate through some of that medical system things. And so that part was really kind of then I really want to do this. I knew I wanted at that time to go into medicine, and I thought I wanted to probably go into family medicine because I saw myself probably going back to a smaller town, living in Wyoming again, coming back to Wyoming. But you know, when you then go to medical school, you have lots of different options as far as, you know, what career path that you choose or what specialty you might choose. And I did end up in family medicine and for lots of different reasons. I think more so because I liked a little bit of everything And that's kind of what family medicine is to me. It's like there's a lot of different things in there that you get to see a lot of different ages and also just take care of a lot of different problems.
And that's something that I'm always curious about, because I'm not sure at what point in college or medical school you actually make that decision. But sometimes, you know, hey, I'm really fascinated, like ear, nose, and throat.
Sure.
Or I want to be a podiatrist or something like that. And you find a fascination with that, and then you become a specialist. At what point in medical school do you really make that decision? You kind of see your friends drift off. Oh, they're going to the they're, you know, going to the foot class for the next how many months. When does that happen?
Yeah, so like for your first 2 years in medical school, you're pretty much in the classroom. You get some exposure in clinics and those types of things, but it's really like your third year when you start to do the rotations. And you're required to do, you know, various rotations like family medicine and OBGYN and psychiatry and surgery, and everybody does those. And then you kind of find, hey, I really like this, or maybe I like this part of this, but not this part. And so when I was going through, family medicine was like at the end of that year for me. And so you really kind of make that decision kind of during third year and then into fourth year as to what your specialty is going to be, because then you have to apply for residency in that specialty. And sometimes that's a really hard decision. I, you know, some teach students still, and still I feel like students are still sometimes still struggle about like, well, how do I know, you know, what the right thing is for me? And again, family medicine for me was a good decision. One, because I had kind of a very high mentor in family medicine that I respected so well and things as well, and just had that experience. But also because I liked a little bit of everything. I liked a little bit of psychiatry, and I liked a little bit of pediatrics, and I liked women's health effort through the OBGYN component and things too. I knew that probably surgery was not my like bag to be in the OR all the time. I really, that, you know, everybody has their points of whether they like clinic or the operating room or different things as well. And so I think that helps you kind of decide where your path is going to be.
And as opposed to surgery or being within the clinic, you found sitting with the family, talking, is that kind of what drew you towards that?
I really like the patient interaction.
Your and
like,
room, in a sense. Yeah.
I like visiting with patients in clinic and getting to know them and different things too. And surgery, I mean, there's wonderful surgeons out there and stuff too, as well, that do all of those things and have a lot more skills. I just was not, my favorite place was not the operating room. I would do some C-sections and those kind of things, but it's just, it was to me, my comfortable and like my place where I felt where I should be was in clinic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said a mentor really kind of helped you make that decision eventually. I think a lot of us have those individuals within our lives that just open a couple doors, maybe send a little nudge, and all of a sudden you find your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And one reason why I really go into this so deep with you is because as a doctor, it does have to be a passion. Your commitment is lifelong. You're not going to do this job and then skip over, oh, I think I'm going to go sell some insurance instead. You're a fourth generation Wyomingite.
Yes.
Now, how did growing up in Wyoming influence the decision to become a physician? Because rural healthcare is a tough job.
Yes, rural healthcare is a challenge. I mean, healthcare in general right now is a challenge, but especially rural healthcare just because of resources and what's around us and things as well. But again, I think it probably comes back to, I mean, I think the reason why I love family medicine so much is also that I get to practice in a rural setting. So I get to do a lot of things. I think family medicine in Sheridan, Wyoming is different than family medicine in Seattle, Washington. Because in Seattle, Washington, sometimes like all your specialists are right around the corner or right down the hallway, or it's just a little bit different. And so knowing what your resources are here, where we have those things, and especially practicing in smaller communities where you might not have any specialists in your community. Fortunately, here in Sheridan, we have several that we can, you know, consult with on a daily basis and things like that as well. But, you know, that rural aspect of not having everything kind of makes you a better doctor, I feel like, because you are the one that's there. You'll figure it out. Like, you'll use your resources, but there's some times where you just have to kind of use your training and things and do the best you can to figure out what the problems are.
Yeah.
And the solutions, obviously, to those problems.
Like mechanics, who you take your car into and they're, all of a sudden you see them walking towards a scrap metal heap and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't worry, I'll make it.
And some patients, you know, can't either with resources or other things too, travel super far to see specialists. Yeah. And so we have to kind of navigate that. And that's, I think, one of the jobs that a primary care physician, family medicine being one of those things as a primary care, helps that patient do and helps families do is help them find what they need, be that person, advocate for them and things as well.
Now, when we kind of separate everything out, there's almost like a list of this falls under that, this falls under this. You talk about primary care, you talk about family medicine. Mm-hmm. What is family medicine and where does it fit in our little tree?
Yeah, absolutely. Really good question. So family medicine is a specialty. Just like, you know, OBGYN is, just like pediatrics are. So there's various specialties. And I think for a long time, people didn't really understand necessarily what family medicine is. There's this idea of like a general practitioner in the past. But a general practitioner is different than a family medicine physician. A family medicine physician is a specialty that goes and they go to med school and then they also do 3 years of residency in family medicine. Like you get board certified in family medicine. A general practitioner typically does a year after med school. And so that's just different. We don't have a lot of general practitioners anymore, but I think that's kind of the concept that some people have. And so family medicine though, you get training in OBGYN, you get training in pediatrics, you get training in sports medicine and all of that over a 3 year residency. So you really do get like a wide breadth to kind of cover a lot of different things. And I think there for a long time, family medicine is not as large in cities sometimes. Like, and not on the East Coast, there's not a lot of family medicine doctors. It's very much more kind of you find them in rural communities, smaller communities. And then there are still some, obviously, like I said, in cities and things. It's just a little bit different, I guess, in a rural community versus a city.
And again, because they've got so many different specialists that are right there on location. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to dig on anybody, but they don't have to, I don't want to say improvise.
Yeah.
It's a profession. They don't have to come up with answers on their own a lot.
It's just different of what, how many resources you have for sure. And not saying that they're not, that they're bad physicians or anything like that by any means, because a family medicine as a whole is just a great career. And I think a lot of people choose it because of the variety of it. And I think family medicine, though, too, is something that's also new to Sheridan a little bit. There's two other family medicine physicians in the practice at primary care. Dr. Emily Denny and Dr. Erica Rinker are both family medicine physicians as well.
Now, when it comes to what you enjoy the most about your day-to-day, mm-hmm. what would you say that was?
Definitely my patients. Definitely the interaction that I get to have with them. And especially once you have choose a primary care physician, and then you have that relationship with them. It's just lovely just to chat with them. And I feel like that kind of helps them get better healthcare in a lot of ways too, because you develop a relationship where people feel like they can trust you and you build that bond and then can move forward on taking care of them and their health, if that makes sense.
And you understand and know their habits.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the bad ones along with the good ones.
Sure.
I've got a fixation with donuts and I'm pretty sure it's not exactly healthy for me, but my doctor knows that. And so when they look at my blood work or whatever, they're like, okay, yeah, there's the Krispy Kreme showing up right there. Now, when we look at full spectrum care, when that phrase is used, what does it mean in the context of family medicine? So that our listeners out there, if you use the term full spectrum or somebody else does, they understand what's being said.
Sure. And so that's part of family medicine, because we do take care of patients from birth to death. You know, so there are other specialties out there like pediatrics, wonderful specialty, but usually just takes care of children up to age 18. And then you'll go on and see like an internal medicine doctor, because an internist will take care of patients that are like 18 and older. Whereas family medicine has the opportunity to take care of all of those patients. And like in the name, you know, family as a whole. So you may see mom and dad, but then you can also see their children. And then you also might see their grandparents. And so that part of things is one of my favorite things about family medicine, is because you really get to know a family. Mm-hmm. You really know the dynamics of the family. And in that aspect, you can kind of, I feel like, take better care of them as well, because you know maybe some of those stressors in the family or things that are going on, or, you know, why they haven't been to the doctor for a bit, or, you know, what can we do to do cancer screening? Because we know that, you know, their mom had breast cancer and, you know, this type of thing. And not that you can't get that otherwise, but it's a unique opportunity, I feel like, to really know a family and kind of become their advocate and their, you know, person to go to for questions. At least I kind of think of family medicine as like a gatekeeper. You start with them. And then if they need to go on to specialists, that's our job to also refer them, to say like, hey, this is out of my wheelhouse for a little bit, or we need to get some more information. But you can always have one person to start with to kind of help navigate that, especially in a medical system that's overwhelming to so many people.
Yeah. And it really can be. You need a roadmap anymore to really kind of understand this stuff. And so building those relationships with those families, I think everybody can understand that over time that would just develop. But in college or medical school, is there any emphasis put on that? I mean, I understand, hey, we need to develop a better bedside manner, Floyd. So we're going to give you this class. But is there a class that's kind of primary care, family physician orientated, where they're like, okay, we're going to go over how to build those relationships, how to establish that trust? Or is that just the charisma of the doctor?
I think potentially a little bit of both. I would say there's not necessarily a class. You know, definitely when you do your family medicine rotation or any primary care rotation, and I guess going back to a question that you asked before, Floyd, that I don't know if I really answered. Primary care, you know, encompasses a few things. So family medicine is one of those specialties, but so is internal medicine and so is pediatrics. It's kind of like your starting point, like I said before, those specialties. So primary care is all those things. But in family medicine particularly, I feel like it's just training of the family medicine physicians a lot about patient-centered focus and those things. And that's lots of times in primary care. I think, though, I don't necessarily want to say good at that, but you get better at that by being out in the field and doing those things. You know, it just takes some time to learn how to build those relationships and things as well. It's not necessarily a class that you take to say, this is how you do this.
Living in a rural community, I think, would really help establish that. You're seeing me at the football games. You're seeing your patients out at Third Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, you're running into them on the street with the families.
You see them at the grocery store.
Yeah. And I think it really does help to build that sense of community. On that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Dr. Lisa Mullen right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
January holds a secret, a fire hidden beneath winter's deepest cold. It's called garnet, January's gemstone. It's long been associated with protection, passion, strength, and lasting friendship, making it a meaningful choice for gifts. At Legacy Diamond and Gems in Sheridan, see garnets already designed for purchase or speak with their experts to craft a piece as unique as the stone itself. Jewelry forged in winter, worn forever, a legacy. Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main Street in Sheridan, online at legacydiamondgems.com.
Do you ever hear ringing? Buzzing or humming when the room is quiet? You might be dealing with tinnitus, and if so, you're definitely not alone. Hi, this is Dr. Addison Dempsey from Ebia Hearing in Sheridan. We talk with people every day who feel frustrated, exhausted, and unsure where to turn because of tinnitus. The good news is there are treatment options. Advanced hearing aids like Starkey Omega AI can help reduce the perception of tinnitus by properly stimulating your auditory nerve and with masking technology. We also offer Lanier, an innovative FDA-approved therapy that combines sound with gentle stimulation to help retrain how the brain responds to tinnitus. There's no one-size-fits-all solution, which is why we start by listening to you. If you're struggling to hear well or tinnitus is affecting your sleep, focus, or quality of life, schedule a consultation with EBA Hearing today. You deserve quiet, clear moments again. EBA Hearing on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Call 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
The IRS and the AARP Tax Aid Foundation have partnered with the Hub on Smith to offer free tax preparation and assistance. To make an appointment, please call 672-2240. You will then get a return call to finalize the appointment, so be sure to answer. You will be asked to pick up a packet prior to your appointment, and we have a team of IRS certified volunteers happy to assist you.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning, we're sitting with Sheridan Memorial Hospital primary care family medicine doctor, Lisa Mullen. Now, Doc, I get sidetracked quite a bit, but there is one thing your people sent me, WWAMI program. What is that?
Yeah, so that's what's called the WAMI program, and that's how I went to medical school, basically. It's a program for, so WAMI stands for Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. So all of those states do not have a medical school, except the University of Washington. So the WAMI program is where students from those states can get accepted to the University of Washington, do education in their home states, then go out throughout what we call the WAMI region or WAMI land, as we like to call it, and do rotations. And then it's a program where then you come back to your state for some like benefit of loan repayment, those types of things. And each state has a different contract, but several of the graduates in my class actually work in Sheridan or in this area from those classes too.
Did you always know you were going to come back to Wyoming? Or was there ever a thought where you're like, you know what, I'm going to go here, there, travel the world?
Sure. Well, I think you feel like, yeah, you never know where life is going to take you and what comes into your life and people that come into your life and things as well. But yes, I always had a feeling that we would come back to Wyoming because I knew I wanted to do rural family medicine. Having my husband was from Wyoming as well. We just knew that. And if we were to have a family and different things too, that we would probably want to, you know, come back to Wyoming and raise them in Wyoming as well.
And so that was the real attracting part. And I think that's the attracting part for the attractive part for a lot of individuals. You know, I want to raise a family. I hear that a lot mm-hmm. from people who actually end up relocating here. I was doing fine here or there, and then I had a kid, and I wanted someplace secure that would give them roots.
Sure.
And so they moved there here.
And so, we lived in Seattle for a time because that's where I went to medical school. You know, I did. So the WAMI program now is a little bit different because I've graduated almost 15 years ago from medical school, which I was like, when I got that announcement this year, I was like, wow.
Oh, they remind you?
Well, for your reunion, apparently. So we lived in Seattle for a little bit. We did our first year here in Laramie, and then we went to Seattle. And then you do your rotations throughout the region. And so I got some rotations in Idaho and Montana. I never made it to Alaska, but unfortunately, and then some in Wyoming as well. I actually did one of my third year internal medicine rotations here in Sheridan at the VA when I was a medical student.
Oh, wow.
Then we lived in Boise for a little while because that's where I did my residency and then, you know, then came back to Wyoming. So
was there ever a point in all of your rotations where you thought, well, what have I gotten myself into? Is this really what I wanted to do? Or were you just solid all the way through?
I think everybody has that point
yeah.
at some point in time, you know, of in medical school or even residency and things as well. I mean, it's a lot of commitment. Like you said, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. You know, as a resident physician, you work 80 hours a week, you know, and you're just learning as much as you can to soak up as much as you can so that you can, you know, in 3 years graduate and then, you know, go and be an attending somewhere. So I think everybody has that point of, you know, is this the right choice? But I feel like that's with any career, you know, that you may choose. And, but you're right about medicine, something that you said earlier about it really has to be a passion because you're really committed. My daughter the other day is like, how long did you go to school, mom? And I was like, 26 years. If you count, you know, from the beginning through college and med school and everything else too. And so, you know, when you make that kind of commitment, you really do have to have some type of passion of like interest. And yes, you're going to have times where you waver, but still I can't imagine myself doing anything else.
While you're trying to absorb all of that information, and this is different, but I dated a nurse when she was doing her residencies.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, howdy, she was out the door, always gone. Mm-hmm. And I totally understood that was never an issue between us. But I just realized, man, this is a major commitment. She would come back to the house with more notes than I had ever seen. How do you, as a doctor, keep track of all that information that they're just kind of fire hosing at you?
I think my residency director said it, I guess, best in some ways is that it takes like 10,000 hours to become proficient at something. And so it's just actually getting in there and doing it, you know, like seeing it. And I think what helps too is like when you get into past the classroom part of med school and actually get to go to rotations and start interacting with patients, you can start tying things together. I read this in a book, but hey, this guy has pneumonia. I read this in a book, but now I can picture this patient, what he looks like, what we do, what treatment is. And then you just repetitiveness, like you see so many cases of pneumonia and then it just becomes secondary. Like I know how to treat pneumonia now, you know, it's just, but medicine is always changing. And that's another thing I really love about medicine though, too, is that you always have to keep learning. You are a lifelong learner. You know, new medicines come out all the time. New procedures come out all the time. And you need to be the one that can help, especially as a primary care doctor, talk to your patients about those options and things. And so sometimes it does seem kind of overwhelming to keep up on all that information. And that's also, I think, as family medicine doctors, where you also kind of keep the line of, I know these and I can do this, but also we may need to have you see a specialist because this is out of, you know what you know, you can't know everything. There's just no way to do that, but you know enough a little bit about things to then put them in the direction that's going to be best for their health, if that makes sense.
It does. And how is that feeling now, having more resources to work with? Is it kind of a breath of fresh air? Are you still kind of learning where the bathrooms are, as my boss likes to say, which is essentially just getting your feet underneath you, really getting established, knowing who to go to right away.
Sure.
I imagine that's pretty easy, but there does have to be a learning curve.
Well, and anytime there's you move from to a new job or a new system and things too, there's different ways. But I think the nice thing about it, even so, I had practiced in Buffalo previously for the last 11 years. And I knew a lot of the specialists over here because I used them even there. So I have some of those relationships with a lot of the doctors here, which has been very nice because then that makes that transition a little bit easier rather than learning a whole new system, if that makes sense.
It does. What is it like on that first day? And I don't mean here. Mm-hmm. I mean the first day when someone looks at you, Dr. Mullen, day one, I need your help.
There's something called the imposter syndrome that you feel like that you're just like, well, I was a student yesterday and now I am, you know, well, an R1, a resident, but it's very humbling, I would say, but also scary. But you just think about, this is what I'm here to learn, to just continue to learn and do the best that I can and take all the knowledge that I can and all the opportunities that I can to continue growing. And even, you know, gosh, being out of residency now 11 years, I still learn and grow as a physician every day. Mm-hmm. I still learn something from my patients every day, how to interact, or also just new treatments or different things. And again, that's something that's also very challenging about medicine, but also pretty kind of cool that you just are a lifelong learner.
Which begs the question, the professional personal line. You as a family physician, you have an emotional investment within your patients. I'm not saying the specialists don't. We're all human.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I would assume yours is probably greater than, say, a specialist who's going to see me once or twice in my entire lifetime. I am coming to you with my grandparents, with my own children. I mean, there's a tight trust that if she says this is what I need to do, then this is what I need to do to get you better. What is that like, kind of walking that line?
Yeah, sometimes it can be challenging, especially in a smaller town, just because you take care of sometimes your kids' teachers or your daycare provider or, you know, or people that you work with, those types of things as well. And so sometimes it's just important too that we can help have those boundaries and find to kind of time to a lot in medicine right now, I guess, too, as far as physicians is talking about work-life balance mm-hmm. and how we find that balance. And some of us are not very good at it. And so I think that's an important thing about taking care of ourselves as a physician too, and making those important things for our own life to then, and sometimes those boundaries to make sure that we can, because if we can't take care of ourselves, then we're not going to be a very good physician, right? Yeah. And so work-life balance is a huge thing in medicine right now and across lots of specialties, to be honest.
Put your oxygen mask on first, right?
Right.
That's what we got to do. All right, on that, I do have to take another commercial break. More with Sheridan Memorial Hospital family medicine doctor Lisa Mullen right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Hungry for a delicious meal that'll leave your taste buds singing? Look no further than Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits. Everything from mouth-watering burgers to succulent steaks, our menu was packed with flavor and satisfaction. Check out our extensive drink menu featuring handcrafted cocktails, local brews, and fine wines. By the way, now it's easier than ever to book your table early. Go to Frackleton's.com and choose your time of day and the table you want, and it'll be waiting for you when you get there. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Brr, winter has finally arrived. Hi, this is Sarah Ridenour. At Sheridan Honda, we are offering exclusive snow day savings. Every day there is snow on the ground in Sheridan, all automotive customers at Sheridan Honda will receive 10% off the total cost of their repairs, parts, and labor. Don't want to drive in the snow? Well, we'll pick up your vehicle and deliver it back to your home. Call Sheridan Honda and Power Sports to get your snow day savings today.
Sheridan County School District 2 is looking for a friendly, skilled, and safety-conscious bus mechanic to help maintain the district's transportation fleet. Applicants must have mechanical and electrical skills to help with repairs and have a valid driver's license with acceptable driving record. This position offers excellent benefits, paid leave, and a starting wage of $19.08 to $29.58, depending on experience. For more information or to apply for this exciting opportunity, visit scsd2.com.
Ready for a little jiggle of the funny bone? National Theatre Live presents 7-time British Academy Film Award winner Steve Coogan in Stanley Kubrick's comedy masterpiece, Dr. Strangelove, 6 p.m. Thursday, January 29th at the YO Theatre. This explosively funny satire revolves around a U.S. general who, with the help of the doctor, triggers a nuclear attack. Tickets for NTL's Dr. Strangelove are available now at the YO box office or online at yotheatre.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Addison Dempsey, audiologist from EBIA Hearing and Sound. Did you know there's a correlation between untreated hearing loss and cognitive decline? Missing out on sounds deprives your brain of proper stimulation. Just like your body, your brain needs exercise. Wearing hearing aids can help keep your brain active, engaged, and healthy. Ensure you don't miss out on a thing. Include a quick and easy hearing test as part of your routine health checkups. Call and schedule your test and free hearing aid demo today. EBIA Hearing, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. We are proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. And this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital primary care family medicine doctor, Lisa Mullen. You have a special interest in women's health. So what does that look like in a family medicine setting?
Sure. It just continues to mean that we can do some of those things that you might not always need a specialist for. So we do cervical cancer screenings, you know, STD screenings, any kind of like vaginal concerns, a lot of postmenopausal care, hormone replacement therapy, just education. And then sometimes if there's extra things there that we're not sure about, that's when we would refer you to our lovely OBGYN colleagues here if needed.
A lot of patients out there, women included, you know, because it's kind of the stereotype that it's just us men not wanting to go into the doctor. But I think everybody kind of goes through that, you know, a little trepidation when you're walking through the door, a little apprehensiveness. So is that the psychological part that you look at in medical school, helping individuals through that door to understand, okay, your health is can be a scary thing. But a lot of times it's kind of over-dramatized on TV. And so people will take that as a reality. How do you get that individual through that door?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes that's much easier for some patients than others. I think, though, too, it's a lot of times I'll tell my patients, the hardest thing you've already done is walk through the door. Now we're here to have a conversation, right? And so my job as your physician or your family medicine physician or your primary care physician, which people also call PCPs, so if you hear that term, is to help you navigate the medical system, help you with your preventative medicine is a big part of what I do, of like cancer screening preventions and education on, you know, exercise and diet and how do we help you make you healthier? If you're a smoker, how do we help you quit smoking? If you drink a lot, you know, drink alcohol a lot, how do we help you with those things? And so that's our job too. And then also just like how do some of my patients come in and they're very healthy as well as how do we keep you to how do you stay healthy? How do we make those changes throughout life and throughout each decade as we age too of, you know, maintaining your health also?
If I were to go into my family medical physician right now, what's the best information I could have to talk to them about as like a ground level? Let's say it's been years since I've done it.
Sure.
I'm going in. What could I tell you today that would help you take care of me the most?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have certain kind of questionnaires that we use for our new patients that gives us a lot of that information. And a lot of those are like, one, do you have any concerns that you particularly want to bring up today? You know, because we do anything from, you know, I hurt my wrist to, you know, I want to talk about cholesterol screening because my dad died of a heart attack, you know, something like that. And so it can be a lot of different things. I try and help have the patient kind of lead that conversation of like, what are the three most important things you want to talk about today? And they're like, really not too much. I just want to kind of get established and kind of do health screenings if I need to. It also on that form though takes into consideration like what's your family history. So sometimes that can lead us down different paths that we may need to. Yes, if your father had a heart attack at a young age or something, why don't we check your cholesterol, you know, or if everybody in your family has diabetes, we need to talk about doing some of those things. Also though, just cancer screening prevention based on age, you know, if you're a 45-year-old woman, have you had a mammogram to screen for breast cancer? You know, are you up to date on your pap smear to screen for cervical cancer? And then now too, the recommendation of colonoscopies or colon cancer screening at age 45 instead of 50, which has changed in the last few years as well. So some of those like preventative things. Other things of like, have you had your immunizations or your shots? You know, what are some that are recommended across your lifespan or at certain ages? And that's kind of helps us to guide that too. A lot of people are nervous to go to the doctor, which is very normal. And so it just starts to, and we don't have to talk about all of that at one thing. That's what I tell my patients is like, where do we start? This is not a one time and you're done. You know, we try and make that a conversation over time to what everybody's comfortable with and how far they want to go. And again, I tell patients, I'm not there to tell you that you have to do all of these things. I'm there to bring the medical evidence and to bring that conversation to you about this is what I would recommend, or this, or these are the things. And then we can talk about those individually of like, are you comfortable with that? How do you feel about that? Sometimes some people are and some aren't. And so we can talk through that. And then eventually over time too, as we build that trust and that relationship, sometimes people more, I mean, they're like, okay, well, you know, we talked about this a while ago and I think I'm ready to do that. Or, you know, I still don't want to do that. And this is why.
The screenings, getting everything done, it can take a while.
Sure.
And there's quite a few to get through anymore. I know there's some individuals out there who are like, oh, wow, now they want to screen me for this and that. But that's as medical knowledge kind of builds on top of things. And they're like, oh, my goodness, we should have been looking for this, you know, months ago. Yeah. Individuals who are finally reaching those ages where they need to start getting these screenings done. Generally, how long from what you've noticed does it take from the time that I have a conversation with you to the time that I can get into that screening? Because you're not necessarily the one doing it.
Right.
You're scheduling it for me. A specialist is going to take care of that. You're going to look in the numbers and tell me positive, negative.
Sure.
How long have you seen that take?
I mean, usually people can get in pretty within the next 3 to 6 months to get their stuff done. You know, it just depends. And if it's more urgent or they're having red flag symptoms or something like that, we can do that sooner. But to be honest, like we can do, like as a family medicine physician, and if you're a female, I can do your pap smear for you and do this. And so we can get you scheduled for usually what we call a well woman visit, do a breast exam, pap smear, get your mammogram scheduled. And then colonoscopy, though, obviously, yes, I don't do colonoscopy. So we refer them to our wonderful surgeons here at Sheridan Memorial Hospital and to get you scheduled to do those things. And typically that can happen, you know, like I said, within a couple months, typically.
Now, to try and help all that down the line, early childhood visits. As my family doctor, you're going to be looking at the kids from birth all the way through. You know, you're the one I'm going to set appointments with for they want to get into this sport or whatever. How do those really help? I mean, have you really seen that help to the point where it's like, well, I know this history. I know this little guy.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, anytime you know someone's history and has been with them, you kind of just have an advantage than someone that's just walking through the door, because that took me 18 years to know their history, you know, or anything like that. But I would say going with early childhood development and things too, it is really critical for patients to bring their, or parents to bring their kiddos in for screening. Because with kids, if you find something early, we can intervene and we want to get them resources as soon as possible and things as well. And so pediatric visits are another thing that family doctors see a lot. And then if they're more complicated pediatric patients, then that's often when we'll send you to, you know, a pediatrician or ask other questions of them if we need to.
Now, what should parents look for when they're choosing a primary care physician for their children?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of great options. We have great pediatricians here in town. We have good family doctors in town as well. I think one thing about being a family doctor is that a lot of times I'm the parent's doctor. And so we already have that relationship. And so they're like, oh yeah, can you see my children too? Absolutely. It's kind of like a one-stop shop type of thing with family medicine, as opposed to some of the other specialties. Now, there are certain, again, if it's more complicated or different things, where we might need them to see a pediatrician and we can refer them as well. But I think it's basically about who you can feel like you can have a relationship with. I mean, it's about your child, and there's a lot of like kind of misinformation about immunizations out there right now. And it's a lot of conversations about that. So choosing someone who you feel like you can sit down and have a conversation with and be comfortable with their recommendations and just, you know, be able to be okay with your child seeing that. But also, you know, like I said, having that relationship, I think, is important, because you ultimately have to be comfortable in order to bring your child there too.
If that and the trust.
Absolutely.
I mean, building trust with your doctor is so vital.
Yes, you tell your doctor very lots of things for your health. It's important for us. And so you need to be able to feel comfortable with them to do that. And it's important to be able to do that for us to be able to take care of you the best too, to know the whole picture.
Are there individuals that you communicate with in one way and then individuals you communicate with in a different way?
Sure. I feel like with communication, you kind of have to meet people where they are too. If someone had a really bad medical experience and they're just coming in, I'm probably not going to tell them you need to do all of these things like right off the bat. You know, I think it's more about kind of seeing where they are, how comfortable they are with things. Where if someone's like, yep, I want to talk about all of these different things, then that's one other thing too. You just kind of have to meet people where they are.
Living in a smaller rural community and with the individuals that you actually work on all the time, what does community mean to you as a physician practicing in northern Wyoming? Because, you know, Buffalo and Sheridan, you know, we're not all of northern Wyoming, but we're a pretty good swath of it. Mm-hmm. And you've seen many individuals here. What does that mean to you to be part of that type of community that we may span a large chunk of land, mm-hmm. but we're a small town?
Mm-hmm. I mean, community is so vital. I mean, this is why we came back to Wyoming, is the community aspect of it, of being there with your, again, neighbors and things, and also your kids' teachers and all of that, because we're all here together and we all have a role in this community, and doctors are part of that. Sometimes it can be, you know, there's challenges to that sometimes too, of knowing a lot of people, and people may be uncomfortable with that medically, but also just there is actually some comfort on the other side of that too, of like saying, oh yeah, I know her from doing these things in the community. And it's just a vital part of, it's part of being a rural family medicine physician. And it's one of the best parts about it.
You taking patients?
Yes, I'm taking new patients. Absolutely.
Are you taking a lot?
Well, since I'm the newer one here, or the newest provider here, yes, I am. I probably have the most openings in my schedule, I guess I would say.
How does somebody become one of your patients?
Sure. They would just call the primary care clinic and ask for Dr. Mullen. Or a lot of times our schedulers will ask, do you have a certain provider that you want to see? Because we have wonderful providers at primary care. So we have two internal medicine doctors, three nurse practitioners, one on the internal medicine side and two on the family medicine side, and then three family medicine doctors, including myself. And so you can choose any of those providers if you want to. But yes, to call, make an appointment, and then we'll get you on the schedule and have a first visit.
We talked about the interest in female medicine, but at the same time, is there anything that you specialize in without being a specialist?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about family medicine, is a little bit of everything. And so, again, some of the visits that we see are like wellness visits, cancer screening visits, well child checks, but also like acute visits. If you're just sick and you need to see a doctor, you know, like if you have a cold or if you have a wrist pain or anything like that, as well as chronic disease management. So if you have high blood pressure or like COPD or asthma and need medications for that, diabetes, any of those types of things we also see. So we kind of see the wide gamut of things. And so we're happy to take care of patients for any of those needs.
Sheridan Memorial Hospital, in my experience, has always been really great about working with patients and what they would desire. And so if I come to visit you, I decide, sure, you know what? There she is. That's my doctor. I imagine it's pretty easy to just get my whole family booked to come in and see you.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's, again, one of the great things about family medicine that's unique, is that if you feel like, man, I really bonded with this person, or I really feel like that was a good visit and feel comfortable with her, I would like to bring my family there to see her. We are more than happy to do that. That's the thing I love about family medicine, again, is building those relationships and getting to know your family as a whole.
Living where we live, I imagine you probably see a lot of breaks, sprains, outdoors types of injuries. Do you take advantage of these outdoors living up here? I mean, you grew up in Wyoming. Your family's been here for four generations. I imagine you know how to take advantage of the area.
Yes. We live in a beautiful place, the Bighorn Mountains. And so it's great to be able to do some of those outdoor things, hiking, that kind of stuff. I'm not big into skiing. Everybody else I know skis. They're always asking me to do a ski. I don't ski, but we live in such a beautiful place.
The reason I ask that is because these professions can be taxing, especially that of a doctor and you know, a lot of first line responders. You guys have to react to some pretty horrendous things. And so I wonder, how does one recharge? How does one keep that fire, that passion burning for so long?
Yeah, that's also a very good question, because I do feel like that's something that no matter what, during someone's career, they're going to kind of struggle with, depending on where they are and in their career and things that have happened, for sure. But I think it is really about kind of stepping back and getting that time. And for me, recharging is spending time with my family, my two girls, my husband. I love to read, so reading non-medical things as well. I really like to bake, and so that's kind of some of my therapeutic release time as well. But you do, it's really important to have those times. We like to vacation, take trips, those kind of things when we're able to really fully recharge and then kind of bring yourself back to the medical world.
We all have to stop, take a breath.
Absolutely.
Doc, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in here and talk with us. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Doug, I watched a video and tried fixing my car.
How'd that go?
I have extra bolts.
Oh boy. That's why you trust the service department at Waring Chevrolet, Bob.
Factory trained technicians, oil changes, brake repairs, alignments, a collision shop, and detailing. With our tire price match guarantee, you'll get the lowest price on brand name tires as well. And oh, did I mention if you bring in a competitor's advertised service offer, we'll meet that as well.
Perfect. I'll save YouTube for my cookie.
Good idea, Bob.
Schedule online at WaringSheridan.com.
Oh, man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. Midas understands and has an offer too good to pass up. Through January, buy one oil change, get a second one free. Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any problems and a no-obligation quote for any needed repairs. If you need tires, save $100 off a set of four tires. Midas, your one-stop shop for tires, maintenance, and repairs, helping your car care dollars go farther while keeping you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
This announcement is brought to you by Farmers Co-op, your farm and ranch supply store on Coffeen Avenue.
The IRS and the AARP Tax Aid Foundation have partnered with the Hub on Smith to offer free tax preparation and assistance. To make an appointment, please call 672-2240. You will then get a return call to finalize the appointment, so be sure to answer. You will be asked to pick up a packet prior to your appointment, and we have a team of IRS certified volunteers happy to assist you.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.